Life is full of ifs, but if you want to cash flow like a pro and get paid up to 2 days early, safeguard against surprises and supercharge your savings, Regions Life Banking makes it possible.
Regions Bank, embrace the if in life.
Regions Bank, member FDIC.
Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio inside the Gas South Convention Center in Duluth, Georgia, it's time for Regions Business Radio. Regions Business Radio is presented by Regions Bank. Embrace the if in life. Member FDIC. Now, here's your host, J.D. Mueller.
Welcome to Regions Business Radio. That's right, I am J.D. Mueller. I'm happy to be with you today for another episode of our podcast where we try to bring local resources to the North Georgia business community to talk about a variety of things. And I'm very excited about our guest today, and I'm going to introduce them momentarily. You know, as at Regions Bank, we're the official bank of the SEC. We're very proud of that. You see us on commercials and, you know, sporting events, and we're not allowed to talk about, you know, specific athletes or anything like that. But we're very proud of our relationship with a variety of SEC schools across our footprint. And one in particular is the University of Georgia. I personally have a daughter that's a student there, and we certainly love the Georgia Bulldogs football program, all their athletics, but also their stellar business school and many others that produce wonderful resources for business across the entire footprint. And we recently initiated, we recently initiated a partnership with the University of Georgia and the Terry College of Business and multiple facets thereof. And it includes our relationship with the University of Georgia Small Business Development Corporation and our, no?
Center.
Go ahead.
Center.
Center, Small Business Development, and that voice that you hear is one of our guests, Robbie Parks. She's correcting me on that. So Robbie Parks is one of our guests today, as is Daryl Holtze. And since Robbie was correcting me already, the University of Georgia Small Business Development Center, let me go to her first. Robbie, welcome to Regions Business Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your responsibility at the University of Georgia Small Business Development Center.
It's a mouthful. Yes. Thank you for having both of us here. We're excited to be here. I am in the Gainesville office, as I mentioned, and my primary role is business consultant. That means a lot. In a nutshell, we help small businesses, and we contribute to the economic development of Georgia through that. We're mainly known through our education, and so we do offer courses like the ones we'll be talking about today. We also work one-on-one with business owners to educate them in whatever's keeping them up at night about their business. So I am a graduate of Terry. We all are business generalists, and then we specialize. My area of expertise is marketing, specifically search engine optimization and also facilitation.
Wow. Search engine optimization. Is that sometimes referred to as SEO?
It absolutely is.
I'm so smart. I figured that out pretty easily. Don't you like that, Mike? I just know what I'm talking about. Well, Robbie and I work in the same building. Her office is in the Regions building in Gainesville at the corner of Jesse Jewell and E.E. Butler. And so nice to see you as usual. And we'll talk more about your detailed experience in just a moment. Our other guest is Daryl Holtze. Daryl's a banking veteran, but also the Director of International Trade for the Georgia SBDC. Daryl, welcome. Thanks for being here today. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, first, thanks for having us. We're very excited to be here today. The International Trade Center is actually a special focus unit for the SBDC. And what we do is work with businesses here in Georgia who are either exporting or maybe they're an established Georgia company and they're looking to explore exporting. So we're there to kind of help them through that process. And as Robbie mentioned, we also offer a lot of continuing education programs too. So we try to educate along with doing that day-to-day assistance for those businesses.
I'm so excited about this conversation because those two areas that you both specialize in are very important to Regions Bank. The small business aspect, I mean, we try to engage our local business community as deeply as we can. Our culture is very kind, very helpful, and very resourceful. And we think that in the coming months, in the coming months of 2024, while some banks may be a little hesitant about what's going on in the economy, we're going to jump in with both feet and try to help as many new clients as we can while continuing to help the existing clients that are already, hopefully, very satisfied Regions customers. So I'm gonna go back to Robbie for a minute. Your specialty is in marketing. Tell us what all marketing encompasses in your experience before we talk more about GrowSmart.
Well, we could be here all night. Marketing is big, and that's one reason why it's so important to business owners, because there's so much to it, and it changes all the time. Mm-hmm. X was Twitter once upon a time. Artificial intelligence is really big right now, and to that point, Google Bard is now Google Gemini. I mean, it changes almost daily, it seems. And so part of what I enjoy doing is helping business owners keep up with marketing, understand the strategy behind it, and I think maybe most importantly, forget about what they don't need. They get so overwhelmed with thinking, I have to be on all of the platforms. I have to do all of the things, and you don't.
That is so good.
That's what I like to do, is kind of bridge the what. Where's your audience? That's where you need to be. Forget about the rest.
Yeah, so do you help also with not just the, let's call them the outlets, the platforms, the social media outlets, but do you also help with messaging of products and services and maybe experiences?
Absolutely. I usually start there. It's part of strategy, because so often businesses say, I want to be on Facebook, or I want to be on TikTok, or I want to do email. And they've not thought about the actual strategy. Why do you want to do that? Who's going to do it? What is your brand and your message going to be? So we start with the fundamentals, and I always kind of laugh, like, I know this isn't the fun part, but we have to talk about the strategy, and then that's going to inform your messaging. It's going to inform every part of that. But yeah, brand management, the messaging, the strategy, what platforms to be on, all of that is under that huge marketing umbrella.
I'm sort of a student of, I want to say entrepreneurialism, but business development. And there seems to be a broad theme, if you will, around the importance of storytelling in your marketing. That brings me to sort of the event that we'll be having soon in partnership with you all, the GrowSmart program. So I'd like for you to introduce that, but I'd also like to come back to this storytelling maybe idea that I was bringing up a moment ago, to connect that to maybe you can share a couple of stories of businesses that you've seen come through that program and find another level of success from the time that they've spent with you in that program. I love the story part of it. So why don't you tell us a little bit about GrowSmart, and then tell us a couple success stories.
Sure. GrowSmart is one of our signature programs. We are so proud of that. It has been around since 2002, so it's been around for a while. And it actually came from the need of serving industries like Home Depot, Georgia Power, Coca-Cola, what was then Wachovia. And so there was the need to help suppliers. While they are not small businesses, Georgia Power is not, their suppliers often are. And so there was a need to get those suppliers up to speed to work with companies that large. And so from that, GrowSmart was born, from those companies.
Wow.
Since then, we've continued to modify the curriculum, always staying on a strong foundation. I use foundation and strategy all the time. But we talk about things like planning, doing SWOT analysis to understand your business, marketing, understand the finance, operations, human resources. We touch on all of that through the 35 hours of curriculum that's part of that program.
So GrowSmart is a 35-hour curriculum over how many days?
5 days. So it's 1 day a week, for 5 weeks consecutively. And it's so funny to me because there is initially that I don't have time. We get that a lot from entrepreneurs. And the whole point of Grow Smart is to get business owners to stop working in their business so they can work on their
business.
Oh,
I love that concept. Yes.
And that's the point. And so as I've gone through and facilitated this program, I have seen somebody came up to me and said, for confidentiality, I can't give too many details, but one of the comments was, I love this program. My only regret is that I didn't do it sooner.
Oh, wow.
One guy was really funny. We always share the next module, what happened in the week before. It's a cohort. Mm-hmm. And he said, I learned my business was still there when I got back. Right? Sometimes they don't even think they can go away for a day,
yep,
and they realize that they can, and really, they get really energized to work on their business.
What size business typically, by revenue, what size business typically would attend Grow Smart?
Well, the minimum requirement is $300,000 a year in annual sales.
Okay.
We do that for a reason, because we want everyone to be on the same playing field,
yep,
right? We want the same type of students and the same type of program. And they have to also be at a point where they want to grow. That's part of the program. So 300,000 in sales is the minimum, but it's not uncommon in a cohort to have, you know, multi-million dollars in sales.
Wow, very good. And they cover different topics each week, and I really appreciate that testimony that they realize that they can miss a day and then go back and everything's still operating and still there. Sometimes what do people identify as a different hurdle over? I mean, just certainly the recognition that the company is still going to operate if I miss a day, but what other challenges do business owners typically address over that curriculum?
Well, it's usually they don't know what they don't know.
Okay.
And so that's kind of part of Grow Smart. We say from day one, this is not Marketing 101 or Business 101. It's not that type. It's, we're going to tell you what you need to look at, what financial ratios, what marketing KPIs that you need to look at to be effective in your business. We start with a strategic plan. That's okay. The whole point of it. It's one of the first pages in the workbook. And by the end of the class, if they're doing their homework, and I stay on them, they'll have a strategic plan in place when they leave. So it's an actionable set of goals and tactics that they can use to work in their business immediately.
Very good. How about, and understand, too, acknowledging the confidentiality that you mentioned before, but share a success story. I have to imagine that there's just this wonderful story that you always love to talk about when you think about Grow Smart. What comes to mind? Maybe you can just define it, maybe not by individual company, but by industry. Mm-hmm. And then what challenge or what did they learn about themselves to become better for their customers?
So I'll say one particular company that was inspiring was a manufacturer, and I'll leave it at that, a manufacturer. And by the end of Grow Smart, the owners of the company were willing to explore doing business with other companies overseas.
Mm.
So it was building a bridge between America and international. I didn't intentionally tee you up, Daryl, but
oh, I was thinking that already, yeah.
Because I was thinking, you know, we all kind of get a little siloed and we're in our little class with 14 business owners, but you kind of step back and think, man, this class has global implications. Mm-hmm. That's huge, you know, and what it means for businesses. So that's one that really stood out for me.
I sort of think of it as a breath of fresh air, too, because if you're just stuck in your business all day, every day, and you go home every night and you're just stuck in the same mindset, to get away for one day a week and talk about your business and get around a cohort of other people that may be experiencing the same challenges that you do, it will remind you that you have something fun to work on, and then you can grow from that.
Yep. I love that you said that, because part of the application process of Grow Smart is everyone can't just sign up.
We make
sure it's very selective so that, A, we have the same level of quote-unquote students, but also that there are no two businesses in the same industry. because it is a cohort. We want them to share. I'm there to facilitate as one of the two lead facilitators in the state. I'm there to guide them through the curriculum and the activities, but they learn so much from each other.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, have you ever had this random thing happen? Someone in that class has. And so they learn so much from each other. If we had two restaurants, they're not, it's not going to be the same. It has to be that no compete, you know, just open environment. I've had one graduate refer to it as his weekly business therapy.
I could see that. Yeah. are people allowed to come back multiple times?
We actually have. We've had one that I can think of in my recent experience, and it was a situation where he went through the program and actually took the business to the next level, right? So he grew, and then they were willing to grow again to take it to the next step, and he went through it again.
Now, you say that as if growth is planned, or as if growth is something that you could make happen. It sounds like a silly comment for me to make, but in your experience, is growth in a business facilitated, or does it just happen organically? I realize it's probably a little bit of both, but purposeful growth compared to organic growth, do you see a difference?
Absolutely.
How so?
Growth happens in different ways. We work with clients through Grow Smart and then just through our consulting who either A, have been very strategic. I've got some clients now that are, I'm not gonna get this new business, especially with marketing. I don't need more business because I'm at capacity. They're very strategic with their growth. Uh-huh. And then we've got clients who said, this was a hobby and it has spiraled out of control because it got so popular. So growth happens in different ways. We help them kind of manage that and line them up with resources to help them grow smart.
yeah, perfect name, of course. I just love that conversation because so many times business owners don't realize that growing too quickly can be a problem. It could be a drain on capital. It could be a drain on human capital. So growing smart, as the name specifically indicates, sounds like a wonderful program. You have some coming up in short order, do you not?
We do. Our 2024 cohorts will, and I say cohorts because they're 14-ish people in a class. It's going to launch March 20th in Douglasville.
Very good. A little west of Atlanta opportunity there, and we'll push this out maybe to some of our Business Radio X partners over there. Maybe folks can listen. You mentioned a business that realized through the Grow Smart program that they could expand into international markets. And you mentioned our friend Daryl Holtze, who's here with us as well. Daryl, as the Director of International Trade, you gave us a great intro earlier, but go a little deeper for me. In your day-to-day interactions with clients or with businesses, what problems are you solving?
Well, it's an amazing process. You can imagine the issues felt domestically here in the U.S. We'll multiply that by all the countries in the world. So there's just an array of global issues to deal with. But the irony is sometimes the issues still remain the same.
Interesting.
What we try to get our businesses to do is to come together and have a proactive plan for exporting. A lot of companies kind of get into exporting almost by accident. They get an inquiry from another country, they explore it, they decide, okay, maybe we want to sell there, they make a sale. But our strategy is let's look at the whole picture and decide what's best for the business as a whole and develop some kind of proactive plan for that business. So the business is exporting in what we hope is a very profitable way, which is utmost important, but also it's strategically good for that company. They get to grow their company. They get to dispel some of their risks domestically and spread those over global markets. So we think it's a good idea to kind of plan ahead and do some proactive planning in that.
I love it. We're talking about planning a lot. We're talking about, you know, organizing. Let me hit reverse for a second. And I'm not, I don't want to sort of bring it to the very bottom level, but the the words come out of your mouth so easily because you work in it every day. You have a vast amount of experience. What does it mean to export something?
Basically, it means transferring an idea, product, or service, and we sometimes forget services, outside the borders of the U.S., or even to make it really complicated, you can export within the U.S. if you're transferring your ideas, your product, to someone who's not a U.S. citizen here in the U.S., that's exporting. So exporting is a pretty wide field of options, but traditionally we think about putting something in a package, a cargo container, and shipping it across the ocean to another country. That's probably the most well-defined idea of exporting there is.
Yeah, perfect. Oh, you're so good at this. Both of you know your audience so well, and I hope that comes through on this episode of Regions Business Radio. Just an odd question. Sometimes I ask them sort of what out in regards to a physical product, not an idea or not a service. In your experience and through the years as the Director of International Trade at the University of Georgia SBDC, what's the smallest thing that you've seen exported, and what is the largest product that you've seen exported?
Actually, down to nuts and bolts, just really small products, all the way up to airplanes. It runs the whole gamut. It's
really
amazing. If you look at the statistics on what is actually exported from Georgia, it's just truly mind-boggling the variety of products we offer here in Georgia and that are bought internationally.
Interesting. So when you think of Georgia, and certainly if you catch any of our sort of Chamber of Commerce stuff from our governor on TV or whatever, agriculture is our number one industry in the state of Georgia. Do we have agricultural opportunities to export products?
Oh, definitely. I think ag is actually the second largest export category here in the state.
Really?
And
are we exporting?
Well, pecans are huge.
Okay.
We are very fortunate here in Georgia that we have a climate that lets us produce pecans. And it's not easily duplicated, even though other countries have tried. It's not easily duplicated. So we're kind of fortunate that we have, if you would, a little hold on that market. And pecans are a big thing, but anything peanuts, blueberries, it runs the whole gamut. Cotton, corn, you name it.
Okay, so that's a little bit about agriculture, which is our largest industry in the state of Georgia. We're sitting in Gwinnett recording today. Gwinnett is really, there's a couple things in Gwinnett. It's manufacturing and international business, as you well know. Here I am telling you, the international expert, what we have here in Gwinnett. But, you think about Northeast Georgia, we have manufacturing and primarily transportation and logistics. You have healthcare, which of course is very important. In Gainesville specifically, you have a lot of poultry. But when you think about manufacturing, is manufacturing like the second largest industry? Maybe it's right at the top for exporting as well?
Well, it's kind of, you want to think of it in terms of maybe of products.
Okay.
Aerospace is our biggest, which would make sense because we've got a few large players here in Georgia. Then comes ag, then comes a whole variety of the different types.
Gotcha.
We export from manufacturing everything from machines to actual completed products. So it's, again, very varied in what we do export. And here in the metro area, obviously fintech's a big export service, if you would, sometimes product, but mainly service. So
all right, I'm gonna again go back to just sort of the basic questions. I'm a manufacturer. I got this product. Somebody emails me. They see it on a website, and I want to send it over to them. Can I just send it over to them?
Probably don't want to do that.
Why not?
There are lots of federal regulations that control the export process.
Okay.
And by the way, this is a big stepping stone for companies to take that first step to say, okay, I want to export, and I want to export legally and follow all the regulations the U.S. have in mind here. But just realize that companies do this every day. So when I talk about some of these things, please don't let that be a stumbling block. You know, it can be achieved. It's being done every single day of the year. But primarily the government, you can look like this way. The government's interested in, number one, who you're exporting to. There are certain people, certain companies that we cannot export to legally.
Okay.
Where we're exporting. There are certain countries that we cannot export to as a general basis without having some kind of licenses, or sometimes not at all.
Okay.
And they're also interested in what we're exporting. Some products are, you know, the U.S. government doesn't want us to export and maybe potentially expose those technologies to bad players around the world. So the government has a lot of controls on that.
Gotcha. And I asked the question sort of in an elementary fashion, because I just sort of like the humor of it, because in my mind, I think somebody inquires over your website and you're excited to have a new customer, and you have your, let's just call it, because it's a very general term, you have your widget. Somebody from Germany has emailed you and you come in and you're excited. Woo, somebody from Germany wants to buy 1,000 of our widgets. Let's get going. They need to call you first, or they need to call you in tandem with producing that, so they can understand what the rules are and how to effectively and legally send that out. What are some of the initial questions that clients should be thinking about when that occurs?
That's a great, great question, by
Thank
the way.
Thank you.
First thing is, really, they should be thinking about, well, who's actually inquiring? You know, unfortunately, there are a lot of scams in the world, so you want to make sure that it's a legitimate person that you're dealing with and a legitimate company.
I'm laughing because that's across banking, by the way.
Oh, yes.
You know, there are so many imposter fraud episodes that are going on. It's interesting to hear that it happens in manufacturing. I'm sorry. I just got to pause for a minute and just raise the awareness that you should have a little bit of healthy skepticism. If something sounds too good to be true, it typically is. So I'm sorry to interrupt you, but yeah, we'll validate who's on the other end of the line that seems to be wanting to buy our product.
Sure, and I think that's crucial is, again, you don't want to waste your time on somebody that's either not legitimate or really doesn't have the capacity to buy what you're selling.
Yeah.
And you know, there are a lot of red flags that we can, you know, we'll actually talk about maybe later on in some of our classes, but there are a lot of red flags you need to be looking out for. Secondly, you need to be thinking about, okay, what are my costs for producing this? Make sure I've got a real good handle on all the costs associated with this. Then you've got to think about the deal itself. Understand the terminology in international trade. Am I going to have to be responsible for shipping? What part of this process am I going to have to pay for? And if so, can I incorporate that into my pricing and still make money on it?
Wow. Well, what you just described, as you coach businesses through each of those steps, Regions has a role to play in every one of those as well. And of course, we're on Regions Business Radio, so I unapologetically want to have this part of the conversation with you, because I could get pretty excited about it, verifying the purchaser.
Yes.
2022 or so, we set up a business that focuses on, and Daryl, we've talked about this, we set up a line of business that helps to specifically serve U.S.-based companies with foreign-owned parents. Now, part of what we do in that regard is we do help our domestic exporters verify and to some extent maybe even underwrite the purchaser. So we have those networks, and we really like to help customers with that. So that's somewhere that our partnership would come into play in regards to the international trade function at SBDC and a service that we offer. Also, one thing that I'm interested in bringing up is, and I'm going to ask it in the way that I do, Daryl, I'm going to sell my widget to someone in Germany. They're just going to pay me. There's no risk in that, is there?
Well, let's hope not. But reality says there's probably a little bit of risk involved.
Uh-huh.
And I think this is one of the big issues my companies always ask about. Well, how can I safely get paid? We go through that process. And with international trade, there are many ways to get paid. And my role is to try to help that company identify the risk that's involved in each of those and then mitigate that risk as much as possible.
Yeah, so you're talking probably a lot about international letters of credit, which, mm-hmm. by the way, are dramatically different than lines of credit that people typically think about. Also, you really should have a high-quality, engaged foreign exchange advisor, which is something that we offer at Regions as well. We have a very robust foreign exchange desk, because what happens is you could sell your product to XYZ company in Germany, but if you're not timing it or protecting the currency exchange, a dollar for it escapes me. What are we paying for in Europe?
Euros.
I'm sorry. That sounds crazy. I couldn't get it out of my mouth, Mike. a product that is delineated in U.S. dollars and then selling it to someone purchasing it in euros, there's risk there.
There's definitely risk. And as we talk about with our businesses, you've got to decide what currency you're going to do business in. Now, if it's in U.S. dollar, that's a little easier process. But if you should decide to sell in another currency, then definitely you need to engage the services of an experienced foreign exchange desk. Yep. And that's the role of Regions and other banks. That's what they do, is they help negotiate that process.
We do. I like to think we do it better, but you're exactly right. You don't have to say anything there. I'm protecting you. So international trade, we're going to have an event called the Global Reach Boot Camp. It's occurring in March. What does that look like?
Yeah, actually, we're going to have our first one in February. I think it's February 26th, okay. Actually in Robbie's Center in Gainesville.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to introduce the concept of exporting to domestic businesses that are well established, that maybe are thinking about exporting but have never really pursued it that far. And the purpose of this boot camp is to, in my opinion, dispel some of those myths around exporting. Businesses typically are almost afraid to talk about exporting. You know, they're thinking there are all these hurdles and it can't be overcome. Well, the purpose of this seminar is to say, hey, these are the true facts about about exporting. You know, this is what you've got to do. This is the process. These are the major areas you need to be concerned with. So at the end of the day, we hope those businesses walk away from this boot camp thinking, this is something I can do. I need to pursue this further, because there are so many benefits to exporting.
Such as?
Such as, it maybe can even your cash flow up in a business.
Okay.
For example, I work with a lot of ag businesses in South Georgia. A lot of those businesses sell during our season here mm-hmm. in North America. Well, guess what? In South America, the seasons are flipped. So those companies can sell into the Southern Hemisphere in seasons that are high for ag and maybe not so high here. So it develops a way of evening out the cash flow in businesses.
Yeah.
Plus, you're just dividing your risk. I mean, your risks are all not in the U.S. Suddenly, your risks are in different countries. And even though we are a global economy, countries have different cycles economically. So it may be that one country is suffering a down cycle where the other one isn't. So you're not always tied to one particular country. So, and there are many other options that you want to think about.
Now, Robbie talked about GrowSmart being a cohort, which is multiple weeks, and you're getting to know the people in your class over those weeks and you're sharing ideas. This is more of a seminar, so it's a one-day event?
That's correct. It's a one-day event, but just keep in mind that those who attend this can come back to us if they want, and we'll kind of help them through that process on a one-on-one basis.
So when you walk into a business, they've reached out to you, hey, Daryl, I think I want to start exporting. Can you come sit down with me? How long does that engagement last, and how quickly do you get into the meat of the – you walk into a business on a Monday – and you give them a couple hours, you take away information and begin to formulate a plan. How long do you stick with them through this process?
We can stick with them for the entire process if they so choose. But, you know, forewarned, it's not an overnight process. Exporting takes some time and really investment of not only time, but sometimes of some capital to develop a foreign market. So we want to work with those businesses, and we want to work with those businesses who are really committed to devoting a little bit of time to the process. Because again, our objective is we want those businesses to market, or rather export, in a very profitable way and a smart way. We want all the risks that can be mitigated to be mitigated. We want them to make the best decisions possible for their business.
I love, there's a theme between both of your expertise, and whether it's growing too quickly sometime, and I mentioned that before, or maybe, Daryl, in your area of expertise, it's exporting for the sake of exporting. It sounds like we have a cautionary tale to share with businesses in Northeast Georgia to say, don't grow for the sake of growth. Let's grow smart. Let's not export for the sake of exporting. Let's export smart as well. And these resources through Georgia SBDC are unparalleled. How about a success story? Again, much like I asked Robbie, we don't have to name the company by name, but maybe can you give us an example of maybe a manufacturer that wanted to begin exporting and you saw them through that process and it was successful?
Sure.
Maybe an industry or a manufacturer of some sort.
Several success stories. One in particular that comes to mind is a company that's actually in the aerospace/aviation world. And they were actually a wholesaler, somewhat of a manufacturer, too, of products.
Okay.
Started out, when we first started working with them, they were exporting very little. Now they're in 40-plus countries across the world.
Wow.
And they are growing tremendously. And we actually helped them in the beginning to get some of that export capital that might be needed to support some of the sales. From there, they were able to take that and with a lot of hard work on their behalf, dedication, and smart decisions, they were able to expand their business tremendously.
I'm glad you said that. At Regions, we are recognized by the SBA as a very strong and the top export working capital lender in the nation. How is export working capital different than traditional working capital?
Well, export, there are several programs, if you would, from the SBA, but one in particular, the export working capital program that you reference there, is devoted for those companies who actually need capital to support an export transaction. I.e., it will help a company from the point they get a purchase order from a foreign customer till they produce the product, sell the product, ship it, and then collect money from their customer. They support the entire process of that product.
Which is a long process.
It can be very long.
If you think about an order, production, shipping, collection, and to know, I don't think many people realize that Regions is as good an international business as we are. Again, I introduce us as, you know, our footprint being the Bank of the Southeastern Conference. We cover, you know, as the Atlanta Journal Constitution used to say, we cover Dixie like the dew. You remember that,
yes,
tagline? We cover the Southeast in that way. And the Southeast is so, concentrated with opportunities to export. It's almost incumbent upon us to be good at that. And we fly under the radar for being good at that product. You think about up in Northwest Georgia, where we have the inland port, close to Robbie and I's office, where we have an inland port coming to Hall County, all the way down to the port in Savannah, where a lot of your aerospace customers are located. And then our agricultural friends in sort of the more South Central Georgia area. We are set up so perfectly to export a variety of products, services, ideas, and we have Georgia SBDC that can help, and we have Regions that again is very sneaky good at this type of thing. I was on a call today with Thomas Mathias, who's been on Regions Business Radio. You know him well, and we were talking to someone about renewing and increasing their export working capital line of credit because their markets are growing across into other footprints, into other countries. They're opening a facility in Jacksonville, using the port in Jacksonville. Those are very complex conversations, and we're happy to have them certainly one-on-one, but also when we can, if we can engage Georgia SBDC, we try to do that. So we have events coming up. We have Grow Smart. We have Global Reach Boot Camp. Daryl, before I wrap it up, going back to Robbie, what any closing thoughts that you would have around international business? If someone wanted to reach out to you, when should they do that, and how should they do that?
Sure. I think, obviously, if you have an idea that maybe you want to export, you're interested in pursuing that, then by all means, reach out to me. My team will be more than happy to talk to you. And again, our objective is we want to help those Georgia businesses get Georgia products into the hands of people all across this world.
Our objective is
we want to make Georgia go from the number 11th state in exporting to the number one spot in exporting.
Who's ahead of us?
Several larger states, unfortunately. Yeah. Texas, California, et cetera.
We're a really good state for business, and I commend our governor, I commend University of Georgia SBDC, and the folks that, I mean, even here in Gwinnett, we're sitting in Gwinnett, you know, the Gwinnett Chamber here is very good in regards to developing business, and our economic development corporations across the state, including the state one, we just bring in really good names.
I mean, I really think we have such an array of resources in this state that are available to businesses that are exporting. As you mentioned, everything from the federal agencies such as Department of Commerce to the Georgia Department of Economic Development to a lot of the local chambers, they're all committed to helping businesses become exporters and to export more. So yeah, we're very lucky here in the state.
So late this month, we'll have that event in the Regions building in Gainesville. Is there a maximum number of people that can attend, or do we have a pretty open slate that day?
I think it's pretty open, but okay. Robbie probably could address that better than I.
Daryl, thank you so much for your experience. I've enjoyed getting to know you over the last couple of months, and we look forward to working with you on this. And there's a lot of synergies that we can bring together to help a lot of people. So thank you for being
here today.
Robbie, I'm looking forward to these events. And by the way, where could folks find both you and Daryl on the website or whatever it may be?
Yeah, so if you go to Georgia, spelled out, GeorgiaSBDC.org/directory, that's how you can find us specifically. But if you go to GeorgiaSBDC.org/training, that is a list of all of our training classes that we have coming up. And those are both the signature programs, the boot camp programs, virtual programs. We've got a little bit of everything going on around the state.
Wow. When you think about sort of closing this out and somebody considering maybe Grow Smart or maybe not even Grow Smart, maybe they just need a little Robbie Parks time to think through some ideas, bounce something off of you. Hey, have you seen this before? Are they allowed to do that? Can they make an appointment? Can business owners make an appointment with you to meet individually to talk about items?
So, yeah, and that kind of brings me to our one-on-one consulting, which is what we're really known for. And so we do work by location. So if you go to the website, you can see a list of the counties and how each office is structured. The reason for that is because in Gainesville, I've got access to local references and referrals for our area. If I've got somebody over in Columbus, I don't know, the best web designer for that area. So we do start by geography based, but I consult all around the state. And so if there's someone who in Columbus or Valdosta that needs me to come in, I'm happy to consult. And I do want to, I can't say this enough, our consulting is completely confidential and there's no cost to that. We are already funded and there's no catch, which is always the next, especially with you know, businesses. It's what's the catch? There is no catch. We exist to help small businesses and contribute to the economic development of Georgia. So we do that through our educational mission. If we can help, please reach out, schedule an appointment, and we'll work with you.
And we like to think that we're a big part of that at Regions. The support that we provide to Georgia SBDC makes those resources available to the business owners that may be listening. Maybe somebody passes this along, or, you know, maybe even our own teams can share this with our clients and prospects. Because as much as we have clients that borrow or deposit with us, you have clients that come to you regularly for advice or for experiences, and we can share this together. Any closing thoughts, Robbie, before we close it out?
I just want to say thank you so much for having us, and thanks to Regions again for your support, because it's through you that we're able to provide the services that we do. So thank you very much for that.
You're welcome, and thank you both for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you, our listeners, at one of these events coming up. And maybe if you can't make the specific events that we dated today, please go to Georgia, spelled out, sbdc.org. You can see events, you can see seminars, that one-on-one consulting opportunity that Robbie mentioned earlier. So please visit that resource as early and as frequently as you can to help your businesses. You know, from a banking standpoint, we talked about consulting, we talked about advice, learning about exporting, learning how to grow smart, you know, specifically in your expertise around marketing. From a financing standpoint, what we really appreciate about the team at the Georgia SBDC is not only the business planning, but the financial projections and understanding what the financials mean. So oftentimes people, and Robbie, you mentioned this before, so often people turn, that they realize that their hobby is turning into a business. And when that occurs, you need to be paying attention to sort of your financial dashboard. My wife called me earlier today and mentioned that she had some message up on the dashboard of her car, and that meant that something was going on, that we need to take it to our mechanic to get it looked at. You need to be able to understand the financial dashboard, the operating dashboard of your company, so that when it comes time, a lot of times startup businesses, which there's another program for startup businesses that we didn't discuss today that you can find at georgiasbdc.org. Sometimes startup businesses need to mature a little bit before they can access bank debt. What does that look like? And, you know, we want to come along and make sure that when it's time for a business to use bank debt, either for growth or access to equipment, maybe to expand into new markets, Georgia SBDC can help you understand what that conversation is going to look like, how to plan for that conversation, and what results you can expect out of that. So our partnership with Georgia SBDC is reinvigorated after the pandemic that occurred a couple years ago. We're excited about the year ahead, and I'm so grateful for you two for joining us today. So, and to our listeners, our business owners and executives across Northeast Georgia or where you may be listening, thank you for listening to Regions Business Radio. I'm North Georgia Market Exec J.D. Mealer and host, and we thank you for listening today.
Regions Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. This information is general in nature and is not intended to be accounting, legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Regions believes this information to be accurate when recorded, but it cannot ensure that it will remain up to date. Consult an appropriate professional concerning your specific situation. The information should not be construed as a recommendation of a specific course of action for any individual or business. All Regions products and services are subject to qualification requirements, terms, conditions, fees, and credit approval. Regions reminds its customers that they should be vigilant about fraud and security, and that they are responsible for taking action to protect their computer systems. Fraud prevention requires a continuous review of your policies and practices as the threat evolves daily. There is no guarantee that all fraudulent transactions will be prevented or that related financial losses will not occur. Visit regions.com/stopfraud or speak with your banker for further information on how you can prevent fraud.